Hi, everybody. You're listening to another episode of the podcast, Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, where we will have the opportunity to get to know another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hey to Gabriella. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here today.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be on this podcast, and I'm excited to see where the conversation goes.
Me too. So to get us started, could you formally introduce yourself to us? Tell us who you are, where you're from, what keeps you busy?
Yeah, so my name is Gabriella. I am 21 years old. I was born in Chicago. But I moved to Connecticut when I was about 5 or 6 years old. I have three sisters, and I just graduated from the University of Chicago and with a major in global studies and Spanish and Portuguese. And this next year, I will be in Brazil for the whole year doing a Fulbright teaching fellowship. And what keeps me busy? Well, I love cooking. I love cooking and baking. I love learning and spending time with my family.
Wow, a Fulbright scholarship. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So are you going to be teaching?
Mm-hmm. So I'll be teaching English. There's 40 federal universities in Brazil. So they place Fulbrights at the different federal universities.
Wow, how exciting. So I believe that it's safe to presume that you're bilingual.
Yeah, I'm definitely bilingual, and I am trying to become trilingual by learning Portuguese.
Okay. Wow. Obviously you stutter. That's the point of this podcast. I'm always curious with people who are bilingual. Do you stutter the same amount in different languages?
I do. I do stutter in Spanish almost sometimes, at least in the past, it's sometimes been a lot more than in English. But I think that might have to do with me. I think that certain sounds, like how you form sounds with like your tongue, is different. And sometimes I think that it's difficult for me to form those sounds while I'm stuttering. But that might also be because I have spoken English, as well my whole life. And it's obviously my more dominant language. But I think that sometimes I stutter less in Spanish than in English. I think it just depends on the situation. And if, for example, I'm like nervous that someone is perceiving my Spanish skills, I might stutter more.
Oh, gotcha. So what drew your interest into wanting to teach?
Well, I spent 9 weeks this past summer in Rio de Janeiro, and I loved being in Brazil. It was I studied abroad in Spain, but for me, I just like spending time in Latin America and in Brazil was, I think, I was just so drawn to that. And I've always been interested in sort of Latin American politics and the Amazon. So I just loved spending so much time there because I had a grant to live there for the summer, and I wanted to go back. So I applied to be a teacher, and I thought it would be a really good way to, develop my Portuguese skills and also like really be immersed and not, spending a ton of time with, English speaking tourists.
Yeah. Do you think it's going to be a challenge to teach English when you stutter?
Yes. I'm very nervous. The first few weeks that I was in Brazil over the summer, I wasn't teaching, but I stuttered so much. Like, I honestly, in both English and Portuguese, I stuttered so much. And I think part of it was that I really just didn't know anyone when I went there. I didn't know even one person. And so, you know, I had to introduce myself, and I was meeting a lot of new people. And so I started a lot, and I am very nervous to see how that's going to go, because I will also know no one. And, you know, my Portuguese, I can communicate in Portuguese, but I am not sure how I can communicate and discuss having a stutter in Portuguese.
What's your strategy? I mean, do you plan to disclose it?
Yes, I think it depends, I think, on how it goes, sort of, and like how large the class is and how many students I have. I think if it is obvious and I am stuttering a lot, I definitely will discuss it. Another way that I tend to disclose now is via social media. And so I don't know, because I will be similar age to my students, that is something that I've been thinking about.
Like on Instagram or Facebook. Yeah. Definitely. Social media seems to be like a magnet, particularly for young people. 'Cause like in your age range, like you all have grown up with technology and social media, essentially.
Yeah, and I think it's a really good way, at least for young people, to advertise. And that's something that I picked up on from the National Stuttering Association, from hearing others do that. Just because I think for me, at least, I can communicate about my stutter via social media, and then it's much easier to sort of bring it up in casual conversation, because people already know about it, or they at least have had like some exposure. I just feel more comfortable discussing it with friends.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the NSA, so you're involved with the National Stuttering Association.
Yeah, so I attended my first conference in 2019 in Fort Lauderdale, but I had been attending chapter meetings for like 2 or 3 years before that. I don't know if you know Danette, but she was my chapter leader.
Yes,
she's very involved, and so I went to a one day conference in Boston. And my mom and I went, and then I really wanted to go to the year annual conference. So we went to Fort Lauderdale, just my mom and I, and we had a really good time. And I didn't make a ton of friends, but I did meet some people. And then over the course of the pandemic, because everything was so virtual, I feel like I really developed those friendships like virtually, through texting and calling. And so when I got to the conference 2 years later in Austin, I feel like that's when I really, developed close friendships. And I feel like I started getting a lot more out of the conferences. And I applied to be on the TAC, when I was a teen. So I did, I was on the TAC for 3 years, which I think also helped me stay connected and sort of think about my stutter apart from the annual conference.
Mm-hmm. So for listeners who may not be familiar with what the TAC is, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So the TAC is the Teen Advisory Council, and it's essentially a group of teens between the ages, I guess, of 13. And I think they really try for 17, but obviously sometimes they're older individuals, just because you know, they have had more experience, and they are able to, you know, assume, I think, more of a leadership position. I started on the TAC after I graduated from high school, and the goal of the organization is basically to, or the goal of the council is basically to conduct outreach with teens sort of across the US. So there are a variety of events like teen talks, which are like Zoom meetings where you can, you know, talk with other teens. They hold workshops at the annual conference, you know, geared towards teens. Run social media accounts and just try to reach as many teens who stutter as possible.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I bet you people weren't aware that, you know, like something like that existed and the extent of it. So that's awesome. So you're too old now for the TAC.
Yeah.
Are you involved with the young adults?
Not really. My last year on the TAC was last summer, the last conference. So I wanted to take just a break from being on some sort of leadership committee. And also, I think it will be interesting for me to attend the conference, like not being on one of those leadership committees and just to come sort of as an attendee. I definitely want to become involved in the future. But I think for this next conference, I'm really looking forward to sort of being able to attend like whatever workshops I want. And
Now you said your first annual national conference was the one in 2019 in Fort Lauderdale, which of course the conference is returning to in just a couple of weeks. Are you attending this one coming up?
Yeah, so I will be attending and I'm really excited. I think it's also like going to be an interesting experience because I attended the conference in Austin and the conference in California alone without my family. This coming conference, my whole family will be going. So I think it will be an interesting experience. And I mean, it's important, I think, for them to go, and I'm excited, but I'm definitely a little bit apprehensive.
Why?
Well, I think so. First of all, I have a twin, and so my twin actually has a stutter as well. But she has never attended a conference, at least in high school. I stuttered a lot more than her and a lot more than I do now. And so my stutter, I think, affected me a lot more, at least emotionally. I was, you know, very upset about it. And so for me, I really made the effort to become involved with the NSA and go to the conference. And I think it was just less important for her. And I think, you know, since going to college, she definitely has struggled with her stutter. And I think she's definitely more aware of how it affects her, like emotionally. And so she thought about coming last summer, but there was like, she, you know, had an internship that she couldn't get time off of. So she's coming this year. And I think it will be really important for her just because I mean, like, we obviously are able to talk about her stutter in a way that I know is really helpful for her. But I think for her coming to a conference and being around other people who stutter, I think will be like, I hope it is very impactful. I'm very excited that she's coming and we're sharing a hotel room and we booked our flights together. And then I have two younger sisters and, so they have never come to a conference. They definitely have wanted to. But again, like they're just scheduling constraints and stuff. I think one of them had their college orientation last year. I'm really excited for them to come. I feel like they definitely are they're very, like we're all very close. And so I think they have always wanted to come to sort of understand. And they definitely have, like, you know, they watched that documentary, like the one with the faces. And it was like, I forget, but it's like the one with the faces. So they've watched, and they watched like the Morgan Lott documentary too.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They definitely take a lot of steps to understand. And my younger sister, so they're twins as well also.
Oh my gosh. So we are very
together. Yeah. And so my younger sister, I went to a different high school for my twin, and then my younger sisters who are twins also split up. So the twin that I went to the same high school as, she was very important, I think, to like advocating for me. She really like helped me find a speech therapist, and you know, she really like helped just so much. And she really like, you know, she's the one who really convinced my mom to take me to the conference. You know, she really talked to her for me. So I'm really excited for both of them to come. And I think that they want to understand, and they wanted to come. And so I'm excited about that. And then in terms of my parents, I'm not really sure how that will go. I don't think either of them are really particularly attuned or understand what stuttering is. It might change things for them. And at least for my mom, she went, you know, I guess 4 years ago at this point. So I think it will be really important for her to go. So I guess I'm apprehensive, but I'm excited to see like how it works out.
Yeah. How unusual is that to come from a family with two sets of twins? I mean, that's not very common, right?
Yeah, it's not. And it's interesting because, so our birthdays are one day apart. So my twin and I, our birthdays are August 12th. And then Sophia and Juliet, my younger sisters, their birthday is August 11th. So we've always like shared our birthdays, and we've really shared like everything. So mm-hmm. Yeah, we're very close.
How much younger are they?
They're 2 years.
Wow. So you guys are like all very close in age, and obviously, as you also described, very close. Wow, that's wonderful. So you mentioned apprehensive twice. So I'm just curious, like, are you like, do you think you're gonna feel like you have to like look after your family during the conference, or do you think that they'll like, you know, find their own way, or you know, how do you think that's going to go?
I think like the first thing that I've thought about is that obviously I've attended on my own for 2 years. So I sort of, you know, I have like friends that I like to like reconnect with and hang out with. So that's like one thing that I thought about, but I think because they're all coming together, I'm able to hang out with each other.
Okay.
And I also think that, yeah, they'll be able to hang out with each other. I guess, I mean, I'm like, I will definitely like, you know, hang out with them and show them around and stuff. But I think there's less pressure of having to hang out with them like every second, just because right. You know, they'll have each other. And Yeah.
Plus there's things like on the schedule and the agenda for like parents and siblings. So hopefully they will, you know, find their way to those things and, you know, gain perspective just from, you know, interacting and socializing, hopefully with, you know, other parents and other siblings there. So how was stuttering like talked about when you were growing up, since there's, you know, two of you that, you know, stutter?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is that at least when we were younger, my parents definitely, like, we did go to speech therapists. And I do remember my parents, because my twin and I would always like compete to talk.
Oh.
So they would always be like, slow down, like let your sister talk, slow down, let your other sister talk. I know you're excited, but it's okay, stuff like that. So definitely like they thought that we were just like really excited to talk too, and we had to compete with each other. And so I think they thought that that contributed to the stuttering. And then everything that they had heard from like, the speech therapist that they took us to really talked about that you really shouldn't talk about it, you shouldn't mention it, because once we become aware of it, then we are sort of hyper focused on that. And I don't think I really like became aware of my own stutter until maybe middle school, because that's when I really was like more alerted to other children are curious, and so kids would often be like, well, like why do you say no, like no, and I would be like, I don't know. But yeah, so I think that's really became when I became aware of my stutter. And I think by that time, obviously, my parents had four children, and so I think it was less of a concern for them, because the advice that they had heard was don't talk about it. So I think they sort of just like were like whatever. And I do remember my dad taking me to a few speech therapists like in middle school, definitely because I expressed like Natalia really did stutter a lot less than me in middle school and high school. So that's my twin. So I definitely expressed more frustration, I think. And by the time I was like at the end of middle school, it really did affect me a lot. And I do remember like just crying a lot about it. And I think I'm such a perfectionist, and I've always wanted to do very well in school. And so I think for me, it was like that one thing that is going to stop me from being successful and like, from, doing what I want to do. And so I think by the time I was in high school, it was just a very sort of like emotional, sensitive area for me. I really would cry like a lot after school. Yeah, so I think by that time, my parents just, at least like my mom, she's just very busy. She went back to school, she has four children. I think that this was like not a big concern of hers, even though I was quite upset about it. And I thought that if I went to speech therapy when I was in high school, that it would be cured. And
Oh.
no, I really did believe that, like until like maybe my sophomore junior year of high school.
Oh.
I really did think that it would be cured, and I really wanted to go to speech therapy before I went to college, because I was like, I need to not stutter when I go to college. It needs to be cured before then. Like,
Right.
it's okay, now, but it needs to be cured before then. So I remember begging my mom to take me to speech therapy. And she just had a lot going on, so she just honestly did not. So I ended up finding my own speech therapist that was covered by our insurance plan, and my sister and I we went there. And then once I started going to that speech therapist, then my mom kind of she started taking me and stuff after I like went for a few times on my own. And so yeah, so that was just obviously my speech therapist was then very like important, because she sort of knew about the National Stuttering Association. She recommended going to the chapter meetings with Danette, and going to the one day conference. So she was really important, I think, because she really like introduced me to the National Stuttering Association, and she really introduced me to reading about stuttering. And we read a lot of scientific articles. I think she understood that I was a very academic person. And so we really focused a lot on sort of like the scientific like research aspect of stuttering. We read a lot of research articles and studies, which I think was really important for me, because I just began to know a lot more about stuttering, so I could really talk about it in a way you know, that was, you know, foundationally correct. And yeah, so really after I started going to speech therapy, I guess the one thing that really did has always like upset me though, is that I don't think that my parents fully understand. I mean, my mom now, that stuttering is not curable. I think when I was in high school, both of them thought that the reason I was going to speech therapy, I was learning techniques there. And they really did think that I was learning techniques there and I was learning how to not stutter. And I just remember them saying like, you know, like, I'm so glad that you're going there and you're learning techniques and, you know, you're really working on this. Like, you know, that's so good. And by then I had already like, you know, learned enough from my speech therapist to know that that's not, that was not how it worked. Mm-hmm. And so I think now they have like a different perspective, but I don't think it's still accurate.
Oh. Are they still hoping like that it will eventually go away or you'll just magically become fluent or?
I think so. No, I don't think that they think that my sister or I will become fluent now because obviously it hasn't happened. But I think, yeah, I think for them, it's definitely like, it's just, yeah, they don't think that I'll become fluent. I do will say that like one thing that I think is that my sister and I are both very, like Natalia just graduated from Yale and she's very intelligent. And obviously I just graduated from the University of Chicago and we've always been very like focused on school and done very well. And so I think for them, it matters less because of that, because we've still done so like well, you know, in spite of it. And so that's sort of like the success that they can focus on.
Yeah. What did Natalia major in?
So she majored in this like, so she in the her first year, she was part of this like accelerated program on like the history of Western thought and philosophy and literature. Yeah. Oh. So she ended up majoring in like this combined major of like philosophy, literature, and like history, and it's all with like a Western focus.
Oh, okay. What does she hope to do with that?
So right now she's starting a job in New York in the summer. But I think she doesn't really know. She's just gonna like work for a few years, and then she was thinking about, you know, getting her MBA or going, you know, becoming a professor and going into academia, stuff like that.
Oh, wow. Wow. And where are you hoping that your global studies will take you eventually?
Well, so I'm doing my Fulbright this coming year, and then I want to go to law school, definitely.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to take a year or two off working, possibly, probably. I would love to work for like a nonprofit organization like the ACLU or for like the Latin American branch of the UN or something, and then go to law school and sort of take it from there. I think in the future, I would like to work in international war crimes. So being a prosecutor or sort of, I guess, a defender of, you know, victims or that were, you know, that they're human, that are victims of human rights violations. So, yeah.
Wow, you go, girl. Lofty ambitions, but
I know. You
know, certainly doable. I mean, you're more than capable, and you're a beautiful communicator. So where are you at now as far as acceptance? Obviously, you know that, you know, it's not going to be cured. So are you in a good headspace right now with your stuttering as far as like acceptance goes?
Sure. Because I really did think that I was, but I think in these past few months, like as college was ending, I definitely had I'm not sure why exactly, but I started stuttering a lot more. Like, I have not stuttered that much since I started college.
Interesting.
I was just stuttering like a lot. Like, now it's, I'm not. Now it's a lot less, but for like a month or two, it was so much. And I would block like almost on every single word. And so it was very upsetting because a lot of people that I, you know, had been friendly with or friends, you know, that were not my close friends would make comments about my stutter. And I had assumed that they just knew, you know, because I do post about it on my social media. And then, you know, I would be introducing myself to one of their like friends, and I would obviously stutter on my name, and then they would, you know, make one of those comments, I think, that are pretty common, like, oh, you forgot your name, or oh, like, you took a little bit of time there, stuff like that. So that happened actually like several times, and almost every time I started crying
Oh
because
no.
I was just like, I have been friends with these people for like 4 years, and they still like are making these comments. So yeah, that was kind of like, I was just like, I
Taken
don't,
aback.
yeah. But I guess the difference with how I handled it now versus when I started college was I would just not be amused and just be like, I have a stutter, you know, because for me, it was like, I was just like, I don't even care. Like, you know, this person is supposed to be my friend. Like,
Right.
I'm just going to tell them. So I think it's still a very like emotional sensitive subject for me. Especially when it pertains to like, I don't know, as like an indicator of my intelligence, or, you know, as like an indicator of like, if someone wants to be friends with me and stuff. But, I think the difference now is that I'm like, okay to be open about it and advertise about it.
It always just amazes me to no end that there are people, adults, that still make those stupid comments, you know, and I'm sure that it's not intentional, you know, I'm sure it's not malicious, but I think people are just still surprised when they encounter somebody who stutters, and you know, those like instincts kick in to like laugh or giggle or, you know, make some comment. And you know, what do you think is going to change that? Like, I know that's like the age old question for people who stutter, but you know, what needs to be done to like make stuttering more normalized, you know?
I honestly don't know. I think for me, at least, like when I make comments, aside from, you know, saying how like that's not okay, I think it's important because hopefully like the next person that they meet who stutters, like they'll be able to more quickly like pick up on it and not make those comments. But I
Right.
also just think like more, so I feel like making fun of how anyone speaks is just like not okay. And I think especially now that, you know, I guess the way we think about like, you know, disabilities and communication disorders and sort of like ableism and sort of like understanding that, you know, that it's not, for example, like, you know, a fluent person's world, you know, that it's also like a disfluent person's world, and that's also a normal way of speaking. I feel like those pushing those kinds of thinking just more broadly is important because then people sort of maybe don't see someone who stutters and don't immediately pick up on that like as such a difference. But obviously that's way easier said than done.
Right. It'll just be so amazing when we reach the point where stuttering is just a verbal diversity, you know, and that it's completely just another way of talking. But I think, you know, for things to change, we need people who stutter to just speak out and speak up as much as possible. And I think young people like yourself are going to lead the way, you know, by using social media, you know, and, you know, standing firm when somebody says something, or, you know, squashing those myths. And, you know, I think the stuttering community is lucky to have Gabriella. So I'm just really, you know, I'm just excited to hear about all the things that you're involved in. And, you know, just being on this podcast, people are going to listen, and they're going to hear a young woman who, you know, is making her way to coming to terms with stuttering, but at the same time, you're admitting that, you know, you're not exactly sure where you're at with it yet. And that's okay, you're 21. I mean, you've got lots of time to grow into this. In wind down mode, like one final question. When you went to that first conference in Fort Lauderdale in 2019, was that the first time that you found yourself surrounded by so many people who stutter?
Yeah, I think at least for me, like before, so I did go to the Boston One Day Conference, and that I think I really enjoyed. In terms of the chapter meetings, I think at least in my particular area, like in New Haven, Connecticut, I didn't meet any other like young people who attended those chapter meetings. It was mainly like older, you know, middle-aged people, besides Danette, you know, but no one like who was like a teen or even in their 20s, really. And so I think for me, that really was more sad. Because I was just like, oh no, like I'm going to be dealing with this like until I'm their age. Like, what if I'm still coming to these chapter meetings when I'm 45? but after attending the conference, and there are so many other young people who have been obviously attending the conference for 10 years, you know, and they're still going, I was sort of like, oh, like, you know, it's not as sad as I thought. It's actually, and now that I have, you know, more friends and I recognize people when I go, it's more actually like a happy thing, I think, than, you know, depressing that I'm going to have to keep going. And so, yeah, I think that's something that I always think about, like, you know, Ashley and I became very close, and, you know, we visit each other and stuff. And I think, you know, if I hadn't gone to the conferences, because that was her conference as well, you know, we were friends, and, you know, we're very close friends, and I feel really lucky to have met her. And that, you know, if I didn't stutter and if I didn't go to the conference, I wouldn't know her. So
yeah. Oh my goodness, what a great way to wind down our conversation. I'm just so delighted that you were a guest today, Gabriella. Thank you so much for being honest and you know, sharing all that you're involved in and all that you hope to do. Your story is really inspiring.
Yeah, and thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I definitely will start to be a regular listener now.
Oh, yeah. Well, great. I really appreciate that. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.